From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pop Brad on this Easter extended holiday edition of the programme. I'm Eric Wiltshire. Huffing and puffing over there is Lee Banks, who still believes the world belongs to journalists.
I beg to differ.
It doesn't belong to the Easter Bunny like something else does that we know, don't we, Eric?
Anyway, moving along to the news. Mr. Murdoch's been in the news again. Well, I don't think it's really him. News Corp in talks with the richest man in the world ever, the Mexican billionaire Carlos Slim, to possibly, and I say possibly, look at the opportunity to take over Formula One. Sod off.
A bit cheeky of him, don't you?
Sod off.
Who, me?
No.
What, you do this bit by yourself, then?
This is just barking mad. You cannot buy Formula One again.
Well, little Carlos Slim did. Oh, no, he didn't.
He's No.
Who owns Formula One, then?
Well, it's owned by...
That little bloke.
You're talking about Bernie Ecclestone. No, he doesn't own it anymore because it was sold off originally to Kirsch. In Germany. Kirsch in Germany. Now, they were actually the final owners of Radio Luxembourg who killed it off.
So they're going to kill off Formula One?
No, they won't. They virtually went bust and sold it off to another group whose name I can't remember. And they're missing something here. All this rabbiting on about News Corp may well take over or think to take over Formula One. Sorry, guys. You haven't yet spoke to the teams. Now, there's a thing called the Concorde Agreement, which is an agreement between the team...
Got a plane as well?
Well, the cars go like planes. There's a thing called the Concorde Agreement. So you're learning so much this week, aren't you, Mr. Banks?
I am, actually. This is fascinating.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm just going to listen.
Yeah. The Concorde Agreement is the agreement between the teams and the company that owns the rights for all the broadcasting, which is what we're talking about.
Yes.
Now, if the Concorde Agreement doesn't agree with the person doing it, the teams can go, well, sod you then, we'll do our own thing and go and start off our own Formula One group and hard luck.
I bet they don't, though.
They nearly did before with that other nerd-led who was in the press, who I won't mention.
That little one?
No, the tall, idiot one.
Him
that tried to get the huge injunction on everybody, on your friends in the media.
Yeah.
At one stage, because they didn't agree with him, they very, very nearly started off their own group away from the FIA. Now, had that have happened, the TV rights people have been sunk. You know, they've got 100% of something that's worthless.
So absolutely, but I do hold my hand up and go back to my original point is that when you said the problem is that they could do this, the drivers and the teams could do this, I said, but they didn't. And you said, but they could have done. And if they did, this is what happened. But they didn't, Eric, they didn't.
No,
because they need the backing. What happened was
they won the argument and said, sorry, boys, we don't agree with that. If you don't like it, we'll sod off. So they said, okay then, lads, let's not change the ideas then.
You know what I'd have done? I'd have called the bluff.
Well, not a problem. I'm not arguing against that stance. But the truth is that unless the Concorde Agreement with the teams is going forward and that's about to be renewed, you can buy 100% of nothing.
Well, exactly. And I tell you what, actually, everybody accepts that Rupert Murdoch wants to run the world, don't we? That's what he's after. But I tell you, and he's now trying to take over Formula One, which, all right, he's a capitalist, he's a growth expert, he's just an expansionist. But if Rupert Murdoch ran the world, what would the problems be? Because what's the alternative? We've got Obama, Mrs. Cameron and Corporal Clegg.
Oh, don't start me on those this week, for goodness sake.
At least Murdoch's a literary chap.
No, what I would argue was if I could, and I don't think they'd be allowed to do it under the laws in the different countries, but the concern by some of the anti-News Corp press is that things like Formula One, which is currently free to air for most citizens, would become pay TV. And I honestly don't see that happening anymore. It's been tried so many times and it fails miserably. And the one thing that Mr. Murdoch is good at is knowing when to give up. Yeah, he's a smart cookie like that.
I was being fairly facetious, but yeah.
Yeah, he is a very... He does. He's smart.
Waves. He's a basic... despite his richness and his business sense acumen and everything, he's basically a news person, isn't he? And he causes waves and he makes things happen and makes people look at things. This could be a smokescreen for something else.
Could be. Moving along, in the High Court, or the Supreme Court as it's now known in the UK, banks have been in trouble again because the Bankers Association claimed that something that had been decided was illegal. And so they all went off to what we know as the High Court in the UK. And it's all to do with PPI.
Yeah. Payment Protection Insurance.
Correct, Amanda.
I stole your thunder.
Now, it's... thank you. The idea of this is, supposedly, if you are sick or you lose your job and you've taken out a loan...
What a load of rubbish.
It would pay out for you. Now, often it doesn't. And in many cases, you don't need it because you've got other insurances covering you anyway. And so the High Court looked at all this lot and said, have we got a trumpet fanfare anywhere?
Have we got a what?
A trumpet fanfare anywhere. Because
I can't remember one.
The consumers have won the day in the High Court because the High Court has ruled that the lenders or the banks will have to pay out compensation to millions who have been, get this, missold payment protection insurance.
What a surprise.
It could cost the banking industry something around £4.5 billion.
Yeah, I know. This is it. They're getting... You see, this is the problem, isn't it? When things start to be exposed, you know, wrongdoings and mis-selling and stuff like that, when it starts...
Sure.
It starts... Actually, it's costing about... Everybody thinks, great, the bank's been it for £4.5 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it's us who get it for it.
Oh,
they
know.
They ripped us off. They stitched us up, and we have to pay their fine.
Which is bad. Which is absolutely bad. I don't suppose anybody will be held to task over this, as per usual. It'll all be swept under the carpet, as per usual. But it does make you question things. And as I said the other week, I changed banks recently, and this poor girl had to go through the Spanish Inquisition before I'd finished and agreed to have an account. And because I wanted to know how much this was, how much that was, da-di-da-di-da. And the thing to remember is, for the UK people listening, over here in Slovakia, you have to pay a fee a month to keep your account running. Like the old days in England.
Mm.
So
how much?
€5.
That's not much.
No, it's not much. As long as you get lots...
And you get a better service than you do over in Britain.
Well, I'll tell you the best service I get, Lee, and as you know, because we were talking in the office before, I had to go off to a well-known supermarket across the whole of Europe, which this week produced 23-24% increase in profits, just to show they're doing it right. And I went into this place and I paid by credit card.
Yeah.
Because that's, well, it's not a credit card, it's a banking card. Now, what happened within, as I'm literally in the checkout at Tesco's, all right? I pay the bill and my phone goes bing bong. And I look at my phone and it says, you just paid this much to Tesco.
Oh, no, that's disgusting.
No, it's not. What a wonderful piece of security. So if your card had been stolen, you'd know somebody was illegally using it.
Actually, I rescind my disgustingness and say, yeah, actually, that is really good. And that is a really good thing.
And how much do I pay for that service?
£4.50.
Nothing. No. I get a free text message from the bank saying my card has been used. Equally, when money goes in, it also sends me an SMS and goes, hello, you've got 50p in your bank now.
That's brilliant. Yeah. That is a really good service, that.
That is a good service.
And why can't we get that over here, or can we?
I don't know. But there again, that's life. But anyway, the banks over in the UK have been clobbered this week, and quite rightly so.
They should have been,
absolutely. Yeah. We're in harmony, Lee.
Can I just say something on this? It's quite important.
If you wish,
well,
sir. If you wish, because we're being so cordial to each other.
I know we are being cordial. It's that blinking market causes all the trouble. It is. We never had a fallout or a row until he joined. And now we're just at each other's throats like a couple of old married women. Or men.
Yeah, well, women, yeah.
Say is very simply and straightforwardly that when you're talking about taking these sort of payment protection plans for ordinary goods, remember, you've got they try to sell you this as alternatives to your statutory right.
Oh, no.
They're not.
No.
You still got your statutory rights, and your statutory rights... I wish I could say statutory.
Statutory. I can't say it either. Oh, stop it. Let's move on before we run out of time. I love this. A couple of weeks ago, we mentioned a story on here, which again saw Mr. Banks go into coronary arrest, blood pressure through the roof, his cheeks got actually red for the... normal reasons for the first time in years, because there's been a call to regulate newspapers by a big group and also to stop journalists being the reporters. Hang on, let's get this right. Journalists being the guest reporters on kind of like what the papers say on television stations. The reason behind it being, how can they be impartial when they're reporting their own newspapers? That's the plot anyway. So the... absolutely lambast this story.
I don't lambast this story for any other reason than this. Right?
What?
I am a published author.
Yes.
Does this mean that I cannot go on television or radio and talk about my book?
No.
Well, why then can't I go on the television and talk about my newspaper?
Because your newspaper is an opinionated thing. I can't say anything.
So is my book.
Well, not really. the life
and, ready, ladies and gentlemen.
The life and times of Lee Banks. anyway, that was a story. Let's not get embroiled. Ed Miliband, he's the unknown leader, for want of a better term, of the official...
Lady Miliband.
Yeah, Mr. Miliband, who is the leader of the opposition known as New Labour in the UK. Apart from the fact nobody really takes a blind bit of notice of what he says, because I have to say, the joke used to be that John Major was grey. If John Major's grey, this one's double grey.
Yeah, this one's like, yeah, he is probably... He fell out with his brother and everything. And as soon as he got into power, he fell out with his brother because he couldn't be best man at his wedding.
Anyway, to grab the headlines, Ed Miliband has become the first political leader to call for an independent review of newspaper regulation and practices. A lot to do with the News International thing about phone hacking that's been going on. Mm. Mr. Miliband in The Guardian, which of course is not... a News International publication, says, I think there does need to be a review after the police inquiries that have been completed and any criminal cases that flow from it. I think it is in the interest of protecting the reputation of the British press that these matters should not simply be left to rest and lessons have to be learned.
Anodyne rubbish.
My God, I can't agree with that now.
Why?
Well, because I'd be agreeing with a politician, and that's just not right.
Yeah, that's a very good point, isn't it?
Yeah, so I can't agree with that, no.
Well, you've got to look at it this way, though, because he's talking about hacking phones and everything, and he's actually also going on about super injunctions.
Yeah.
And there's something that struck me about super injunctions last night.
Hold on a minute!
What?
Hold the presses!
What?
Stop the print room!
I have!
Hold the headline! Hold the headline!
One.
Journalists knew about hacking how many years ago?
About phone hacking?
About hacking.
Hacking in what way? Like you've got a bad cough?
No, like hacking into someone's personal data.
Well, we've always done that. There's nothing new. We're just using the new technology.
And if I remember rightly, didn't somebody say they used an expert agency on all this sort of stuff to do it?
Yeah.
So if that's the case, how come journalists didn't know about things like the Apple thing?
Well, they did. That's how they got round to writing it, you big...
Years after it's happened?
It doesn't matter. It
doesn't hello!
Matter write it.
Good morning. I'm it's smelling a rat.
Yeah,
I'm right. Smelling it's a rat.
Different.
I'm smelling a rat.
Yeah, that's because of... Yeah, no, don't say that.
You see, isn't it marvellous how journalists hate being treated like journalists?
I'm not hating. I love it. It makes it a good. It's like being tickled on my tummy. It makes me kick your legs.
So anyway, after all that lot, good luck to Mr. Millie Bland. Good luck to Mr. Millie Bland. Let's see you get your story in one of the News International newspapers. Not. And so why is the Daily Star, which is a newspaper that nobody's probably heard of around the world, but we're now giving it some free publicity, the best newspaper in the world, according to Lee Banks?
Well, basically, because I read it for the first time in a long time. I meant to have it here so I could go through it, but I haven't. But basically, what I used to work on the Daily Star. I worked on the Daily Star for 5 years.
Don't go on for too long. We've got some other stories to do.
And I worked in the features department, and I always liked them. And they are the ones that are going to expose the people who are taking out super injunctions. Mm-hmm. They've committed themselves with an MP to exposing the people who take out super injunctions. Mm-hmm. Now, that to me says, well done, Daily Star. That's a proper campaigning, hard-nosed newspaper saying, this super injunctions are a complete iniquity to the freedom of speech of this world, mm-hmm. and we are going to expose the rich people who can afford to take them out to protect their own peccadilloes.
Right, let's just hope no journalist ever takes out a super injunction.
Why?
Let's just hope so.
I've got to say this because this is the truth, and just think about this quite seriously. What a super injunction means, if somebody takes a super injunction out and it affects your life, do you realise that that means you can't talk about your own life to anybody? Because somebody's taken out a super injunction which involves you. You cannot find anything more shameless or I don't know. That is just terrible. Talking about your own life.
Let's just say someone's made something up.
Yeah.
Just for argument's sake, yeah?
I just made that up, actually.
Yeah. Just for argument's sake. Let's just say Lee Banks has promised the entire world he will never drink again.
I was just doing it when you said that.
I know. Red or white?
No, it was actually, believe it or believe it not, it was water.
Yeah. his blood is now down to 80% of blood alcohol level.
I have a little bit of blood in my alcohol system.
Exactly. And if you then don't drink, but somebody claims that you are drinking,
yes.
Isn't it right that you can stop them doing that?
No, absolutely not.
Why?
Absolutely. Because you've got the perfect right to reply to say, hang on, I'm not drinking. I can prove it to you.
But it's too late. The damage is done.
No, not really. No, somebody says you're drinking. Or so somebody says, all right, then let's make
it. Okay, I'll have to make it worse then. And well, I apologise to your partner because I know this won't happen. Let's just say that somebody writes in a newspaper, Lee Banks has been out to a granny prostitute and enjoyed a night.
Yeah. How did you know?
All right.
You've just done that on air.
I know. Good, isn't it?
And the trouble is,
exactly my point.
No, I wouldn't. No, if somebody went and said that, let's talk about one of your heroes, Mr. Clarkson, who had exactly that done to him, and he rode it out with style and aplomb, and it's
but
all over.
He's
gone now.
A media genius with a great manager. This is not your average person.
Well, your average person. All right. Now, I've done stories on people like this, and, you know, people. I know I've damaged people's lives. But the simple fact is, if you have somebody who has done something wrong, right? And let's face it, you're not talking about your average Joe on the street who's going to take out a super injunction.
No.
Most of you. Hey?
No, you're not, because it's about £10,000.
Well, more than that as well. But, yeah, no, but so your average Joe on the street, and he also ain't going to get exposed for his sexual peccadilloes unless they are particularly shocking and dangerous to the rest of society.
Right.
Well, you know, I won't name the bloke, but I did an expose on a very, very well-known comedian a long time ago, and I exposed him for his taste in, well, sex that you should never speak its name.
Right.
Now, he was exposed for that. He was exposed for that. It actually, unfortunately, in my way of thinking, didn't do any damage to his career. He carried on. And I'm sure he carried on doing what he was doing.
Probably got him more work, but there you go. Let's move on because we are seriously running out of time. Event this week in London, which was all over the television, radio and newspapers, and will be in magazines. A very, very exclusive awards ceremony with the top 50 chefs in the world. And I hate having to introduce this piece. I really do hate having to introduce this piece. It is grating in my gut having to do this because Lee Banks went.
I'm not saying anything. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I did it. Everybody else had it and everything else, all the newspaper, all the radio stations. And I broke it, didn't I?
Well, not necessarily. Let's not go there. Tell me about the event. What was it like?
I could tell you all sorts of negative things, but about getting there and where I was staying.
Well, we may have time for that at the end, but let's do that at the end.
Let's talk about the event. The event was probably one of the most stunning events I've been to in my life. I went with. Are we talking about who we took there?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, well...
Let's just snob even more and hurt Eric even more. He went to this event with the master chef for the Slovak Olympic team.
Yes, dear. And guess who we met while we were there?
Oh, go on then!
He hobnobbed with Heston Blumenthal, with that little French bloke whose name Anton... thing, and loads and loads and loads of world famous chefs whose names are on the tip of everybody's tongues but mine.
Right.
And it was wonder there must have been. There was everybody who was anybody was there, including me and Peter, the Slovak what's it chef. And it was wonderful. It was sober up because it was held at the Guildhall in London.
Let's just rub Eric's nose in it some more. It was in the Guildhall
in London.
Yeah.
The most exclusive venue that you can ever, ever be invited to. And it was gorgeous. And there were loads of press girls all dressed in black with shiny skirts and things like that. And they'd come and say, oh, hello, Mr. Bank. Can we help you? Would you like us to take you into the room? And things like that. And he was behind, and Peter's behind me going, oh, I love it here. He loved it. He had his photograph taken with all these people. And guess what? Heston Blumenthal got to be the fifth best restaurant in the world. What's it called? It's called like the Dirty Dog.
Dirty Duck, isn't it?
That's it, yeah. And it was lovely. But the power and the excitement, there was a beautiful moment when an old restaurateur, and because I had a little bit of an accident on the return journey, I can't remember his name, but he was an old man, he's 70-odd. Peter would tell us.
Yeah.
And he got a Lifetime Achievement Award for his restaurant, which I think was out in Guatemala or something.
Who was this organised by then?
It's that Perigon S thing, S Perigon, the water people.
Oh, right, but I thought it was a magazine that were organising it.
Oh, yeah, restaurant magazine. We don't talk about that because it's all full with journalists.
Steady tiger, you'll never get another invite.
No, restaurant magazine. And I tell you, it was just lovely. It was one of those exclusive events where actually you feel like you've actually arrived somewhere in the world because it was so elegantly done and powerfully done, and the music they played, the bloke who did the announcements and introduced each new restaurant was witty and charming and urbane. And we had champagne, we had canapes, we had cheese butties.
Cheese butties, you northern troll. Cheese butties. I could just imagine him standing there, the young lady comes up, would you like a glass of champagne, Mr. Banks? Oh, yes. And he puts his little finger out and gently picks it up between his thumb and forefinger and goes, thank you. Thank you. And he's been practicing.
Doc.
He's been practicing, thank you, for weeks now. Marvellous. So you went I don't believe this.
Yeah.
I do all the flipping work and you get the glory.
I know.
Good, isn't it?
Well, that's because you live in a fantasy world.
What, Slovakia?
That's a nice thing to say about Slovakia. I say it's fantasy world. It's lovely.
It's like
a dream come true. And you live there, and I have to go to stupid things like awards at the Guildhall in
London. I have to say, much as I envy you going over there, because it must have been a fabulous night, if I had to choose between living in London or the UK to go to that one event or living here, I'll stay here.
In a way, I would agree with you 100%. Do you think Mark's still on the run? Where do you think? He's got to, like, little keens you.
So tell me, just very quickly, don't rant on too long, because before the awards, shall we say, several phone calls between the UK and Slovakia, with Lee ranting.
Which bit do you want me to do?
About the hotel you were supposed to stay in.
Oh, man, I'll do this really quick for you, because because I was supposed to be staying at the Marlin Apartments, right, in London, which were a five-minute walk from the Guildhall. Mm. And that was it. It's fine. I had to walk there. No, fine. I got there. There were lots of problems on the way there, which we'll go into at a different time, but I got to the Marlin Hotel, and they'd done something, which meant that I couldn't have my room. So they put me in a taxi, which I told them they had to pay for, and shifted me to another Marlin Hotel, which at the time, all right, you take it. But
fair
I was
enough.
Down.
Yeah, no problem.
I had to have a taxi journey. I told them that any taxi journeys I had to make because of them shifting me from the hotel, etc., they would have to pay for. Anyway, so I got to the second one. Nice place, lovely place. Everything, walked in, standing at a reception, they say, could I have your passport, please? And I looked at that. I said, my God, I'm English. I'm in England. I don't have to have my passport. So have you got your driving license with you? And does it have a picture on? I said, no, I don't need any identity. I'm English, and I'm in England. And I said, look, go on the internet. There are 14 pages about me with my photographs on. So anyway, we got over that hurdle, right? And then, you know what she says, could we have £200 off your credit card, please? Well, Eric knows I don't have any money and I don't have any credit cards. So I said, no. And she said, what do you mean, no? I said, I don't have a credit card. She said, well, can you give us £200 in cash? I said, what for? Not that I got £200 in cash. She said, well, it's just a security deposit. I said, why? What do you think I'm going to do? I said, there's no minibar up there. It's an apartment. She said, oh, well, we do have problems with people having parties up there. I said, I'm 83. I'm not going to have a party. She said, well, yes, but people nick our tellies. So I promised. I said, well, I'll give you 200 quid. I'll tell you what I'll do, Doc. I'll promise not to nick your telly. And they let me in.
Well, looking at your picture, are you surprised? So it's not really a positive vote for the Marlin, but the Restaurant Magazine's a winner.
Restaurant Magazine and the whole event and the Guildhall and London generally is a winner and is beautiful. Marlin Hotels, I think they just had a bit of a problem that day by running into me.
That's probably more to the point. Have we got time for a very, 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 very quickie? Yes, very quickly. Australia deports a criminal back to the UK. Marvellous, got
so
quick.
Funny. That's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah. Australia has sent a man back to the UK who has lived in Australia for more than 40 years because of his criminal record. Hello? Hello? Ooh, wake up, Aussie. You're all crims.
I know. And the thing is, they're just getting their own back on us.
Well, that's very true. Apparently, Mr. Tucker, who has been sent back to the UK now, was jailed for 12 years for shooting and seriously wounding a police officer. Well, I try and get rid of him out of the country as much as anybody else.
Don't want him. We don't want him.
No, exactly. Oh, dear. And apparently, he's never done anything wrong since 1999, so he's obviously upset somebody somewhere along the line and has been sent back to the UK. I think that is just absolutely wonderful.
I want to just say something very quick. His quote, very quickly, is, he says, I haven't committed any crime since 1999 other than a minor assault.
Yeah, right. We'll be back next week. God knows what's going to happen as we try and hook up with broadcasters around the world to bring you their way of covering the royal wedding between Wills and Kate, as they're affectionately known. And just be careful if you are buying memorabilia, because there's lots of bogus stuff out there where the revenue doesn't go to anything good. So make sure it's official.
That's a good point, Mr. Eric.
Yeah, make sure it's official and you're not getting ripped off. That's about it from this week's postcard from Poprad. Goodbye from me, Eric Wiltshire.
And from me, who is going back to bed now.
Who is?
Me. Lee Banks. Lee G. Banks. Sorry, I forgot who I was. Sorry.
The Station of the Stars. RTI.